United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the 6 Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at a benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000, and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S. from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, The Living Messiah of Our Time, given on September 3rd, 1994 in Hawaii, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Oh, any more questions?
Get initiated. Do you have to be a vegetarian?
Yes.
Then what exactly that initiation does to you? Like, I believe in while we are on this earth, that we live as close as possible to the will of God, which is love yourself and love another. And
that's good.
Non-judgmental, and not only meditating and praying, but to do, actually do the will of God. In other words, try to be light of this world instead of giving people a bad time or giving them a hard feeling.
That's good. You're already there. Yeah.
Plus, the deed is not only what you do, but deed in your thought life as well.
Sure.
Now,
we take care of all that.
Yes.
Now, the initiation.
The initiation will enhance that I can do all those, because daily I self-examine myself. Sometimes I see myself. I wasn't really walking the walk of God. Sometimes I'm very temperamental. Sometimes I get angry at the people who, so strong.
Yes, you know?
And I get so driving.
So very honest.
She shoots me on the street because she doesn't know how to drive. And I get mad. Then I go home. It's all right. I'm exactly opposite with what God is, total forgiveness.
Yes,
and when I do something for people, I said, I did this for him or her. She didn't even say thank you, you know, because I shouldn't feel that way when I do something.
Understand, yes.
Just, you know,
you're already very good. You're already very good.
Do what I want to do it.
All right.
But
so what do you expect now?
I can't.
What next?
My question is, so what that initiation will do to me?
No promise. Oh, report, please, report. You see, the initiation, it's not about personality code. It is in a connection with what you want to see. Mm-hmm. The God, you know, that you always worship and want to know the will. See, you have to get in touch with him. The line of the telephone have to be connected, that's all. Now it's broken, okay? I have to connect it, then you will see God for yourself. And you'll hear him speaking in musical way. And then that musical without language will change your life. And whatever way he wants to transform you, or she wants to transform you, that I cannot promise. But 99.999% is for the better. Okay? Unless you don't want to.
Master, you asked for some report. May I say something according to that?
Please.
My personal experience changed me dramatically. I'm much more tolerant to people, driving-wise and otherwise, and in every way, shape, or form. And all I had to do was meditate 2.5 hours a day, just as the Master requested, and day by day, it's changing so gradually, so subtly inside. And one day I realized that, yes, it has affected my life tremendously. So I just want to share that with you.
I wasn't sure if I could report this, but after initiation, March 28, 1993, you spoke to me and you invited me to your house. I had been in Honolulu for 10 days. I didn't know where the address was, so I went home. The next day, I meditated on the bus, and when I opened my eyes, I was in a strange place. So I got off the bus, and I was in front of the address of the house where you were staying. So I went inside, and I met with people, and they explained the vegetarian diet to me. So I've been following it since, and I wanted to thank you for that.
No improvement? I said the wrong bus? The wrong bar to the right direction.
Well,
nothing else.
That was just the first of many miraculous
things. Of course, after initiation, every day is a miraculous day. But sometimes we take it for granted. Too many can't write it. Huh?
It sure is.
It sure is.
I would like to be able to say in words what it's done to me, but that's kind of difficult because it isn't easy to articulate. I know that I have done several forms of meditation. I've been in Buddhist temples in Japan and in other countries and done silences and been really moved in my life by those, but I have not, the clarity and the freedom and the peace that I have now is 100% more than I had before. That doesn't mean I don't have a long ways to go. Not only from the meditating in the way that you've instructed me, but also from the vegetarian diet. I grew up in the Midwest on the mainland where cows and pigs were what you ate. I truly didn't think I could ever get those out of my diet, and it's amazing that 24 hours after I heard the way you said it, something cellular struck me that this is what I was supposed to do, and I did it for me, and now I care about the animals too. And it strikes a very lovely chord in me that I could even say this to you. I wanted to say that too.
This is what the vegetarian diet is about. The true love from within for all beings. Not because the Master says so, or Jesus says so, or Buddha says so, or because I don't want a bad karma or killing. It's truly because we love for the animal. You know, and that's just the way you started. That's the right way. And I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Some of the benefits of a vegetarian diet: lowers blood pressure, lowers cholesterol levels, reduces type 2 diabetes, prevents stroke conditions, reverses atherosclerosis, reduces heart disease risk 50%,
reduces heart surgery risk 80%, prevents many forms of cancer. Stronger immune system, increases life expectancy up to 15 years. Higher IQ, saves 70% of a total cost of $40 trillion for reducing global warming. Uses 4.5 times less land to grow food. Conserves up to 70% clean water. Saves 80% of the cleared Amazonian rainforest from animal grazing. A solution for world hunger. Free up 3.4 billion hectares of land. Free up 760 million tons of grain every year, or half the world's grain supply. Consumes one-third fossil fuels of those used for meat production. Reduces pollution from untreated animal waste. Maintains cleaner air. Saves 4.5 tons of emissions per U.S. household per year. Stop 80% of global warming. Plus more. Save your life. Be veg. Go green.
I was a vegetarian before I had the initiation. But this past year, it was very strange. I was an acrobatic eater before, and just recently I went to a naturopathic doctor and he recommended I go on a juice fast, a vegetable juice fast.
Yeah, it's not so right. And then what happened? Why? You were sick?
Not really, but it's like a cleansing diet.
Oh, yeah, you want some kind of a purification for the body?
Yeah.
All right, and then? What happened?
Like when I was on a fast for like about almost 100 days.
What for?
He wanted
That's
me
a long
to clean out my colon.
And then, so what happened now?
And I stopped because it was pretty long. But I was just wondering if this is part of that purification of the...
I didn't recommend that.
No.
But if you want to, you can try.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
just kind
all
of
for liberation.
What sort of just unfolded by itself.
Was it good for you? Did you feel better anyway?
You
lost weight, huh?
Yeah.
Very skinny now.
Yeah. But...
You feel good? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I used to feel okay, it's alright, I guess.
I guess that's my experience of vegetarianism since I was initiated.
That is very, very vegetarian. Extremely. We didn't recommend that.
No.
It's all right. You just be normal, okay? But if you want to, you know, sometimes go on fast because if you're heavy or something in the body, you know, it's all right with me. But you don't need to, all right? Every day if we eat not too heavy, yeah, about 80%, and then I drink 10% of fluid, yeah, that's enough. That should be a very ordinary diet and no need to go into extreme, unless the doctor recommends you sometimes, yeah? I did, huh? Well, you're so skinny. Now that's enough, huh? 100 days, huh? Wow, that's a lot. What did you drink all that time? Orange juice? Carrot juice? Potato juice? Celery juice? Oh, yes, yes. And kind of sprout juice, huh? And the wheat juice, huh? Okay. Yeah?
Yeah, my name is Kim Lu from Chicago. I'm attending the Anthony Robbins seminar.
Oh, hi.
And I'm so happy to be here. And I didn't expect this when I left Chicago for this seminar to be able to meet you, because I know you were in Chicago in February.
Oh, I see.
And I miss you. And I read about you in the paper. I said, oh, it's wonderful that I can meet the master someday. And then July the 24th, there was a street fair in Chicago Chinatown, and there was a booth of your disciples there. And I picked up for the first time some books and purchased some videotapes of you. And I immediately decided after reading the free booklet that I would want to be a vegetarian. And I started that, and there was some struggle from that day on. But I think I will overcome that.
Good for you.
And it's just like magical that I'm here, because it's, I guess, destiny, you know, brought us together, and also with all these people.
I guess so too.
And then my wife is here with me.
Where is the wife? Oh, yeah?
And she was skeptical, and I said, you got to come. For some reason, there's got to be something great happening. So that's why I'm here.
Right.
Thank you very much.
I don't force her. Are you still skeptical, wife?
No.
No? I'm pretty honest, you know. Do I look so? Yeah? Yes.
Master, I too am very honored to be here. I owe to him from the Robbins Seminar. From what I have discovered in the last 24 hours about you and your teaching, and from what I know, having spent 9 months listening to Tony Robbins' teaching, there is so much similarity between what he teaches on one level and what you teach on another level altogether, that I pray that somehow the two of you will come together. And I think that many, many of his students, and I only put it at that level because he's not a spiritual teacher, he's a psychologist, but so many of his students are meditators, and so many of them would be able to take their lives to a completely new level if they could hear you speak. So I think that all of the people from Robbins here, and many of the meditators who wished us luck in coming over to see you tonight and who regretted that they weren't able to, I think they will pray that somehow you and he, or certainly you and his people, will get together at some stage when the time is right.
Thank you. It's up to God. Sometimes I work very hard for something. I thought I would be able to help or do something. And then God said, "Flop, no, forget it." And then I just forget it, go to sleep. All right, there's no hard feeling, I want to tell you, okay? God always tricked me into going somewhere. I told you already in the beginning of the meeting. He tricks me all the time, or she tricks me all the time. I'm used to it. Yes, there's nothing. I'm always laughing at everything because I know I'm used to it, the old man, or old woman, old mother. Actually, it's very, very clear to me. All right? So if I come here and miss the opportunity to be with your people, be with your teacher, this is also all right. It's not the main point. No. Okay? I know very clearly. Thank you anyhow, and please convey my love and regards to your teacher.
Master, I live on the big island of Hawaii, and I was also at the Robbins Seminar helping my friend with her children. And I just wondered if you have any insights into it. It's so frustrating being on the big island and seeing them wanting to end all the growing of food and the agriculture and all that. They want to just build everything all over the whole island and turn it into like another French Riviera and all this sort of thing. And I just get so frustrated because every time I try to, I go to the meetings and I say, you know, don't you see that this has happened everywhere else? It happened on Oahu, it happened on Maui, it happened all over California, where people don't have a balance with the nature, and they just are destroying nature and the reef and the water and everything. And I get so frustrated because I am friends with the dolphins and I swim with the dolphins and on the big island, and it's all almost like they communicate to you about what's happening to the ocean. And so that is a big concern to me, the ocean and what building and all of this development does, and it really changes the island. And I just wondered if you have any insights. I am frustrated about what to do, what we can do to save the big island, at least hopefully keep it, the Aina, safe, and the animals and the ocean clean and pure. And is it possible on the planet anymore to stop this madness? And no matter what you do, the politics, they just pay off the politicians, and everyone just pay them off, and they vote against, even though you've pointed out all the things that are really bad about this. So many people move from other places because they want to be where the land is pure and beautiful like Hawaii.
Yeah, I share with you your anxiety. The other day, I had breakfast with one of the natives. He took me out to buy some books and magazine. I thought I'd just get out for a few minutes and get some books. And then we talk about, you know, Hawaii, yes. And talk about how the people in Hawaii want to get out of the United States, yeah. And we talk about the pro and con. And I say I share sympathy, you know, with the people in Hawaii. There are always the good and bad point of everything. For example, we talk about nearly 100 years ago, the Hawaii still have a queen, yeah, the monarchy, yes. And then some unfortunate, probably violence or some attack break out, and then the Hawaii belong to the United States, yeah, which has good point and bad point. Of course, there are never perfection in this world. And one good point is that our native initiates told me, good point is that it's developed. Yeah, the island has developed, and it's also more prosperous. And also good educational for the people. And another bad point is that some of the Hawaiians lost their land unjustly. Like they cannot prove that they have a paper that they own the land, which they did not need before. Everybody in the neighborhood would know that land belonged to that man, and they live honestly together, and they just shake hands to do business. No transaction paper, no lawyer, nothing. And now some other foreigner comes, and the native people could never prove, some of them never proved that they own this land and that land. And then they've been pushed out, and then become like homeless, and even treated not very nicely sometimes. And these are the bad things. So similar to Big Island now, probably it will be developed into a very well-known spot for the whole world to enjoy, but then at the sacrifice of the native. And I do not know what is the best to tell you, apart from being very sympathetic with the native people and the people like yourself. I do not really know what the answer is the best.
So is it best to continue to speak out, even though it seems fruitless to do
well,
so?
At least it makes you feel good and bring you in contact with the people with the same mind, and then you can comfort each other. Maybe you can find a better way or a compromise. I heard that Molokai are also now being bombarded with civilization, new building, a thing like that. Is that right? Actually, I wrote to the government of Hawaii. I wrote to them last year or 2 years ago or something, a long time. I said Molokai is a very desolated island. People don't live there. Only a small community, right, compared to other places, which is not developed. And I say it's very good for development, you know, can make it into a more prosperous place. Otherwise, it's a waste of a very beautiful and big island. Because before they used to put the leprosy people there only, yeah, and a handful of community there. I heard there's only a few hundred people even, when I heard reported about that, about the island. So I wrote to the government and say, well, it needs some good management and know-how, technical people to come and develop the island, because there are other islands are so crowded, yeah, and polluted, and the Molokai is left empty. And people told me that it's a superstition in Hawaii. The people don't dare live in Molokai because it used to be the ancestral burial ground. Is that not so? I'm not sure whether the information, the report to me is correct. Is that so?
I'm really not that familiar with Molokai.
Okay, fine.
In Molokai, they have a big water problem.
The big water problem? Water problem. Oh, okay. So if they drill the ground, they would have it.
That is difficult.
Don't have water in the Molokai? Oh, but that's, I don't think any problem. We can get it from other islands, if it's developed, you know. But they don't answer me on this. And I say, well, if they let the Vietnamese refugees come in, you know, on this, I'm reported that nobody wants to live there because of the ancestral burial ground and people are scared and things like that. Something happened there always. This is what I'm reported, okay? I'm not native also. Anyhow, so I thought, okay, if it's a waste place and nobody wants to go there, then why don't just give the Vietnamese refugees? I wrote to the government, and we finance the, you know, whatever we can, and according to the numbers. If they say our money is not enough, then we finance a half or something, you know. But now I heard that they developed Molokai. Yes. Before, nobody wanted to develop. Everybody says want to get out. And now everybody want to get in. According to the newspaper I read recently, is that not so? Some of the native people there also don't want development. They say that will, you know, destroy the landscape and affect the peaceful atmosphere of the Molokai. But one hand, I'm sympathetic for the people of the island. On the other hand, I don't really know, because sometimes we have to share the good things with the whole world, and that is sometimes inevitable. And if we don't share it peacefully, maybe sometimes we are forced to share it in a violent way, and this is even worse. It's not even so pleasurable to do so. And that's what happened with war, you know, around the world. What people cannot get it peacefully, they force it on us by war, with war. And that's how nation make war against nation, because they envy that piece of land that they don't have, and we don't share with it. Maybe it's God's will that we have to share everything, even though we don't like it. I do not really have the good answer for you. I'm very sympathetic to the native, because I know what it's like to be homeless while you own a piece of beautiful land before, and it's yours, and suddenly you become homeless. And I told our disciple, you know, the native, the Hawaiian that had breakfast with me that day, I said to him, you remember, huh?
So
I don't tell you liar. Everything is correctly the way we said, yes. So I said to him, I can very well understand, you know, the feeling of the people here. Because sometimes the law forces people into homelessness. It's too strict, too rigid, you know. Like, I have a piece of land I bought about 4 or 5 years ago. It's supposed to be for our disciples. But then they could not make use of it because of the neighbors and because of so many laws. All right, so I came. I bought another land now for them anyhow. No, because I promised I cannot get it back in my promise. And that land, you couldn't even park the trailer on it. You know what I mean? Because of the law. I don't know whether the law is correct or not, or the person who represents the law made trouble for fun, just to show that they have authority. The trailer is like a car, you know? You can't even park in your own land. It's troublesome, and I pay every penny of it, and I pay tax every year, and for 4 years I have not been there. I only came there once every 4 years. I could not even park a trailer to stay there for a while. You know what I mean? I came up and said, you have to pull out electricity. Electricity we share with a neighbor. It's illegal. That he used only half, and the half he didn't use. It's all right. But I just cannot pull all electricity out, take all the trailer out, nothing in there. You have to build a house first. But before you build a house, you have to build a road. It costs $160,000. And we already have a road. They're not pleased with that road. That road is too narrow, too high. You have to build another road. We already been up and down for many months, no problem. Okay, fine. I can afford $160,000, but I don't pay for it. I don't want to destroy a piece of beautiful land to cut 100 more trees down just for another road. And I said to the people, forget it, drop it, drop it. I don't even want that land. Just leave it there. Leave it there so that it keeps the environment. Because all the surrounding of my land is bald. No more trees. It's fire or anything destroyed, typhoon. And only in our place is lush. You know, it's green. And I wanted to keep it. I said, I don't want to cut one half more tree. Half a more tree I won't cut. And to build a row like this, it costs hundreds of trees. And it costs hundreds of years to grow one tree. And the environment's already so dry. And I get hurt, you know. that to think of a few billion small raindrops less next year if I cut these trees and make the road, you know, to build my house. I don't even need a house. The law is fine. But you should know that the law to protect citizen, not the citizen to protect the law. Like this, no one can afford to live there. And this is 40 acres of land, which nobody can live, not even a trailer. A trailer is not a mobile home, you know, very small. And it's like a car, and you can't park your car in your land. That's how many Americans are forced into homelessness. How can a normal citizen afford a $100,000 plus road before he can build a house? Without road, you can't build a house. You can't have electricity, you can't have nothing. You know what I mean? So it's a must. And you can't even build the road yourself so to save money. No, the government has to build it. You know what I mean? Agent from government. You can't build it yourself. If you build it yourself, you have your labor. Probably it's cheaper. And the government, all I have to do is just come and measure if it is up to the standard. Then it's also a little bit more logical. No, you can't do it. And they force some of the ordinary citizens into homelessness and to doing some crimes sometimes because they're too angry and because they're forced into a corner and have nowhere to turn and no alternative. When their kids are hungry and their wife are sick at home, what else can they do? So the law is good, but sometimes it's too rigid on people. I can afford it, but other people cannot afford it. Besides, I don't spend that money on myself. I will come every 4 years to stay in a trailer. I have to build a road for $160,000. Even $16 I won't build. To cut the trees, you know, and make the environment become worse. That's the problem, yeah? So I can understand also the native people here because it happened to me. It happened to me. The system sometimes crush people, crush the ordinary citizen under their feet and make them feel very pressured and depressed. So try to work out a milder solution if you can. If not, well, you have God. All right. If you lose everything else, you have God. What else can I tell you?
Thank you.
All right.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
We thank you for your generous presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for more uplifting and constructive programs, 24 hours a day, every day of the week. We wish you a happy and safe weekend.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.